Hello, this is Gary Hutchins with the Sunny Slope Church of Christ in Omaha, Nebraska. This is today's Bible class. A short Bible study, about 13-14 minutes usually, but every day, 7 days a week, keeping us in God's Word. Now that's important for our faith because faith comes by hearing the Word of God, Romans 10 and verse 17. But it also is important for our relationship with God, for our focus on our spiritual lives, and also to help us to keep a good, more positive spiritual mindset to be able to deal with life every day. Help people in your life by sharing these studies with them every day through Facebook friends, text messages, and other technological means. Help them turn their life around and ultimately get to heaven. Share these studies with them, and that'll be a blessing for them and for you. So make that commitment today. We're getting close to finishing up our study, asking the question, what does it mean to come to Jesus? Jesus gives the great invitation. We've been looking at that all through this study. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. He said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now Jesus calls all mankind to come to him in an active way. Obviously, faith in him is basic. The Hebrews writer says we must have faith in God, Hebrews 11 and verse 6. And Jesus said, "If you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." John 8 and verse 24. So we must believe that he is God the Son and our Lord and Savior come to the earth. He came in physical form and grew into manhood and then went about during his public ministry for about 3 years teaching the gospel, teaching that he came as the Savior and through him that we can be forgiven of our sins, redeemed, brought back to God in a right relationship, be saved, and have the promise of eternal life in heaven. But how do we come to Jesus? What does it mean to come to Jesus? Now, as we've said, there are a whole lot of people, they just want to say, "I believe," and that's it, that's good enough. And a whole lot of those think they can go on basically living a sinful lifestyle and still be okay because they have come to Jesus, because they have said, "I believe in Jesus." Friend, that's not going to get it. Just not going to do it. So we've seen that we must come to Jesus in repentance of our sins. We have to give up that old way of life that we've lived in sinfulness, and we have to come to him as our Savior. Come to him as our Savior. Repentance is necessary. Luke 13 and verse 3, "Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." Acts 3 and verse 19, "Repent and be converted that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." When we're coming to Jesus, we're coming to have a changed life. And we compared those passages on repentance in Luke 13, 3 and Acts 3, 19 with what we read in Ezekiel. God's message to the Israelites of Old Testament times. He said, "Turn away from your sins. I don't take pleasure in the death of people because of their unrighteousness. Turn away from your sins." And 2 Peter 3 and verse 9, New Testament Christianity, "God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." But you see, we've got to come to Jesus in repentance. Some of those Jews on Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, when Peter and the apostles had been teaching the gospel, Peter's words are highlighted in that chapter. And so some of them came to spoke up to Peter and the rest of the apostles and said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And the first word out of Peter's mouth in response, verse 38 of Acts chapter 2, was repent. Repent. You've got to change. You rejected the Savior. You weren't walking with the Savior. You didn't believe in the Savior. You've got to believe in him. You've got to turn away from your sinfulness. You've got to walk with him now. Give your life to him. Jesus said, in essence, you want to come to God? You got to come through me. John 14 and verse 6, the night of his betrayal, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, in repentance, and that repentance leads to obedience. Obedience. John 3 and verse 36, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Jesus said in John 14 and verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. He said it again in verse 21, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he said it again in verse 23, If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And then he put it in reverse order in verse 24. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. The Hebrews writer emphasized obedience to Jesus and his teachings in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. He said, speaking of Jesus, though he were a son, yet he learned obedience through the things which he suffered. And having been made perfect, or having been perfected, he became the author or source of eternal salvation to all who obey him. There is no salvation apart from repentance and obedience. Real saving faith is repentance and obedience is included in that real saving faith. It's part of that real saving faith. Now, we were looking at Hebrews chapter 3, and the Hebrews writer was using an example of the people of Israel and their lack of faith, their weak faith, and how God said that they shall not enter my rest, Hebrews chapter 3, verses 7 through 11. And that's a quotation from Psalm 95, verses 7 through 11. And then the Hebrews writer makes the application to people today, New Testament Christianity. And so in verses 18 and 19 of Hebrews chapter 3, he went on and said, and to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest? Now, what did Jesus call us to? He said, take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. Ultimately, the fulfillment of that promise is eternal life in heaven. To whom did he swear that he would not enter his rest? Hebrews 3 and verse 18. But to those who did not obey. Those who did not obey. Obedience is part of saving faith. It's not just believing. A lot of people, they want cheap grace. They want to say, I believe in Jesus, I believe in God, and that's it. And then they can go ahead and live their life pretty much the way they've been living it, in sinfulness. That's not going to work. Not going to work. Jesus said in John 12 and verse 48, he who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken shall judge him in the last day. We're going to be held accountable for not just believing in Jesus and not just believing his teachings communicated to us in Scripture, but also we're going to be judged according to our obedience or lack thereof to those teachings. John the Apostle wrote in 2 John chapter 1, verse 9, whoever transgresses and does not abide in or live by the word of Christ. Now, let's make sure we understand that clearly. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in, live by the doctrine, which means the teaching of Christ, and you can't say, hey, I accept the teaching of Christ, but then you reject the teachings by Christ. Now, they all go together. It's a package deal. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in, live by the teachings, the doctrine of Christ, does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If we're going to come to Christ for forgiveness and salvation, for eternal life, we've got to come to him all the way. We've got to come to him in repentance of how we've been living our lives, and we're all guilty of sin. Romans 3 and verse 23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we're going to have to come to him not just believing, but we're going to have to come to him in obedience as well. Obedience. Now, part of that obedience is turning away from our sins. Again, Luke 13 and verse 3, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Again, what did Peter say on Pentecost when some of those Jews gathered there from all the nations under heaven, the known world at that time, listening to him and the other apostles teach the gospel, but his words are highlighted in Acts chapter 2. What did he say when in verse 37 some of those Jews said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Peter didn't say, "You don't need to do anything. You believe, right? That's all you got to do is just believe." He didn't say that. First he said, "Repent." And then he said, "And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." He said, "You got to repent. And you've got to obey. You've got to obey the teachings of Jesus. You've got to obey the Word of God." And he was communicating part of that Word of God to them at that very moment. And the instruction is the same for you and I today as it was for them almost 2,000 years ago. What does it mean to come to Jesus? How can I have that spiritual, eternal rest that he promises if I will come to him? I've got to come ready to change my life. I've got to come in full faith. And that's not just belief, but it's also obedience. I've got to repent of my sins. I've got to take up that new walk. I've got to become that new creation in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. I've got to be born again. John 3 verses 3 through 5. And I can't do that just by believing and not obeying. We'll finish up next time. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for loving us so much that you sent him to the cross to be the sacrifice for our guilt of sin. Guide us, Father, to come to Jesus in the way you have laid out for us to do so in your word, so we can have that eternal rest with you in heaven. Please forgive us and hear our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.